In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Prodigal Son, as we continue our preparation for Great Lent. And we've heard this parable many times, and this is certainly one of the most comprehensive of the parables, in that it's the whole story of mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Paradise, the fall of our race from Paradise, and our journey to get back to our true home, which is the Kingdom of Heaven. And as it says, the prodigal son asked his father for his portion of his inheritance. This is easy to understand in a literal way, you know, since the father is wealthy, you know, he would receive a great deal of money. But we also know that this parable has a spiritual meaning. God created man in his image and likeness, as it says in Genesis. And this included a portion of this divine spark that God placed within man. When Adam and Eve fell away from God through being tempted and acting in disobedience to God's commandment, of course, they were banished from paradise. And yet, in his mercy, God left man with this divine spark. And the Holy Fathers tell us that this divine spark, so to speak, within us is what gives man the ability to understand spiritual things, which is a very important attribute to help man find his way back to paradise. Otherwise, man, without that divinity within man, he would just be an animal. You know, even though, granted, some people don't act very good, you know, in the world today, but still, they can repent, you know, and they can actually fulfill their potential and become a real, you know, human being and a godly person. Now, God has also endowed man with various gifts, you know, skills and abilities, talents, intelligence, things like that. And in a way, these things also form part of what we could say is our inheritance from God. And yet, just as someone might invest money in some business venture with the expectation of earning a profit, so God has invested us with his image, this divine spark within us, and the various gifts and talents that he's given us. And he expects us to put our inheritance to work and earn spiritual profit. And you might remember the parable of the talents in the gospel, where God gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to another. The guys with the 5 talents and the 2 talents used them wisely, and they doubled their talents. They were profitable. And they were pleasing to God, and they were rewarded. But he that had received the 1 talent just buried it in the earth and earned no profit. And God became angry with him, called him an unprofitable servant, and had him cast into utter darkness. Well, this prodigal son had been given talents, but then he wasted his inheritance on riotous living, pleasures and comforts, and became destitute. And yet, that divine spark within him could not altogether be extinguished. Suddenly, in the midst of his darkness and destitution, this divine spark kind of flared up and helped him to see his miserable state so that he remembered how good he had it before at his father's house. And how does his father receive him? Does he scold him for wasting his inheritance and becoming an embarrassment to the family? Does he kick him out and say, "Don't darken my door, or I disown you"? No, the father has been anxiously waiting for his prodigal son, hoping that he'd come to his senses and return. And so when he comes, he runs out to him, embraces him, restores him, putting on clothing in robes and rings and shoes and everything. And then he prepares a great feast in his honor. And this is how God acts towards anyone who repents, with love and forgiveness. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich points out that in reality, man owns nothing. We come into this world with nothing, and we take nothing out of it when we depart. All that we really have in this life is sort of on loan to us by God to help us become profitable servants. So in reality, the father in the parable of the prodigal son was under no obligation to give him an early inheritance, but only permitted this out of his mercy. The scriptures and the holy fathers tell us about this idea of heavenly treasure. This is, you know, looking at what our inheritance is. And this is what the prodigal son should have done with his inheritance, to put it to good use to acquire treasure in heaven. Well, what is this treasure in heaven, and how do we obtain it? In Matthew 19, when the rich young man came to Christ asking what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, the Lord told him, "One thing you lack, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And then again in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Of course, the spiritual treasures are things that are otherworldly. They're the virtues and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Fathers tell us that really this is the purpose of our life, is to acquire these things, which are the only things that we're going to be able to take with us when we depart this life. Now, this whole upcoming season of Great Lent is designed to help us build this treasure in heaven. But we must begin by recognizing our shortcomings and practice repentance. This is what the prodigal son did as soon as he came to himself. The great apostle Paul himself tells us why we need to do this in Romans 7. And he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So here St. Paul describes very clearly what our spiritual struggle is. Even the greatest saints who were extremely virtuous, you know, who worked miracles, they raised the dead, they healed the sick, they cast out demons. And at the end of their life, people would praise them and say, "Oh, you're really a holy saint." And they'd say, "Don't praise me. I'm a sinner. You know, I could still fall, you know." And why is that? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, why don't they just acknowledge the fact that they're a really good person? And they don't, you know, because of this fallen nature that we have. So no matter how good you are, how many good deeds you do, and how many virtues you acquire, you still have this fallen nature that could always trip you up. And so that is just the way it is. It's not our fault. We weren't there in the Garden of Eden to make the choice. But, you know, as we've talked about in the past, if we had a rich ancestor, then by all rights, when that ancestor passed away, they would have, you know, passed their wealth onto their heirs, and so forth and down the line. And so we should be very rich then, right? But what if our rich ancestor squandered his whole fortune and impoverished the family? Uh-oh, now there's no money to pass down to the heirs, is there? So here we come along, we're born into the family, and we're poor. Now, is it our fault that we're poor? No, it's not our fault. And nevertheless, we still have to live with this situation of this poverty. Okay, so that is, in a nutshell, our fallen condition in this life. It's not our fault that Adam and Eve fell, but we still have to live with the consequences of it. But it's okay, because God sent Christ into the world to open the way for salvation for us. But so the point is that this fallen nature is always kind of trying to pull us down. You know, it's we have the world, the flesh, and the evil one all trying to tempt us and try to distract us from our goal, which is our salvation. And that's just how it is. So what we need to do is just keep trying, and that's where we have to repent. And remember, repentance is not just about, uh-oh, I did something wrong. Oh, you know, I need to be punished, or, you know. No, it's about transformation. So we recognize, I goofed up, I messed up, I made a mistake. And then we pray that God will help us, and then we come to church, and through the sacraments that are provided for us, confession, communion, and so on, we're gradually transformed into a new person, and then we tend not to sin so much. So that's our way out. So brothers and sisters, let us prepare for this coming Lenten season by making the effort to improve our Christian lives so that we may, like the prodigal, come to ourselves and find our way back to our Father's home. Glory be to our God. Amen.